The world's most exciting podcast, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
I'm Michael Savage, host of the Savage Nation podcast, home of borders, language, and culture. Hear my new podcast each week as I speak with top guests from around the world. Right now, we have over 700 shows in our library, featuring interviews with world leaders, scientists, faith teachers, and more, including President Donald Trump, Prime Minister of Israel Ehud Barak, Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb, Jerry Falwell, and so much more. Conversations and commentary you cannot find anywhere else. Other guests have included Samuel Cohen, the father of the neutron bomb, Breitbart's Alex Marlow, the great author Peter Schweitzer, Colonel Douglas McGregor. Be here or be nowhere. The Savage Nation Podcast. Catch the Michael Savage Podcast on all podcast platforms every Tuesday and every Friday.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast.
Strictly Anonymous Podcast.
Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand, you can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you haven't followed the Strictly Anonymous podcast yet on Instagram or Twitter, follow me at Strict Anonymous. I don't know why I always sing that. If you haven't followed me on the podcast app that you're listening to me on, make sure to follow me. And if you can, give me a review or give me 5 stars on the app that you're on. Do it. That kind of shit really helps the show. What's really exciting now that I love is that Spotify has polls that I get to create for every episode, and they have questions that I could put out there and people get to comment on the episodes. I love interacting with my listeners about what I'm talking about on the episode. So make sure to comment. I get so excited when I get a comment. If you leave a rude comment about me or my guests, of course I'm not going to air it, okay? I get the option to post it or not. And I also can't post dirty ones that are flagged by Spotify. So if you leave a comment, make sure to keep it clean and keep it nice, okay? But anyway, if you want to be on the show, it's called Strictly Anonymous because I change everybody's voices. I change everybody's names. If you have a naughty, interesting story that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, I'd love to also have you on my show. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on be on the show. If you have a naughty confession that you want to be aired on an episode, I now do naughty confession episodes. I do one a week. You could call my confessions hotline. You could call that number 247-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. I think you get 4 minutes, leave a message. If you need longer, just call back. I change the voices on them. I edit them together. You could call that number anytime you want. All of those anonymous confessions, even if they're not aired on an episode, or aired on my Patreon. And my Patreon is a really fun community. I have over 2,000 people on there. If you join for only $5 a month, you get all of my episodes early and ad-free. I do questions and answers and polls and stuff over there as well. I post all the anonymous confessions there. And I also post all the anonymous sexy pics of all of my guests all over there. And you also get access to my private Discord where people are allowed to post whatever they want. I don't get involved in the X-rated stuff, but people want to post stuff like that and they get to over on my Discord. So to get access for my Discord and get all the other stuff that I talked about, you got to join my Patreons, patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. It's literally just $5 a month and I feel like you get a lot for that. So all of the links and the emails and the numbers and the websites and all that shit I just talked about are in the Discord. description so you don't have to worry about writing it down. Okay, so today I have on Seth. Seth is a young guy. He's only 25. Both him and his girl came out of the closet to each other. They're both bisexual. His girl, like, really didn't waste any time. She lost her virginity. And then, like, 1 month later, they were having threesomes. She's into chicks. He's into dudes. They've played anally. They've done a lot of different things together. They're very experimental and open, both in the bedroom and outside of the bedroom. They really put everything about themselves on the table with each other. They're young, but they're open, and they've experienced a lot for their age. They recently just had a foursome. They had a threesome with one of his friends, and he talks all about it. He gives a lot of details of all their experiences and all the stuff, the kinky things that they're into doing solo and all that kind of good stuff. So I'm trying to keep my intros shorter. So anyway, I'm going to be right back on with Seth.
This is the Strictly Anonymous Podcast.
Hi, Seth. Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm great.
You are great. You're the first Seth I've ever had on my show. I had to Google that right before when you said you want to use the name Seth. I was like, oh my God, in that 10 years of doing my show, 790 something episodes, not one Seth, but I've had a lot of bisexual guys on, and that's you. But what I love about you is you're a young guy. You're 25. You're bisexual. You recently came out as bisexual to your girlfriend. Your girlfriend already came out as bisexual to you, and you guys have had some experiences, right? So that's really like the short story, correct?
Yeah, that's like the short and heavy part of the story, but I definitely could track some of my behaviors probably way further back to like preteen and stuff, to certain things that I guess I had a proclivity for.
Yes, I always love to go all the way back, right? We'll work yourself up to where you're in this relationship and the stuff that you've done now. So whenever I get a guy on that's bi, I'm always curious, like, when did you first realize that you were bisexual?
I wouldn't call it realizing bisexual, but I would say it started doing more non-heteronormative things around the time, I guess, the Deadpool movie came out, 2016 or whatever. I think I had a more open mind, and Ryan Reynolds was naked in that movie and stuff, and his character Deadpool is omnisexual. He doesn't give a fuck about what he's attracted to. Sorry for the F-bomb.
You're allowed to curse on my show.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
But, and so, like, even his, like, I don't care attitude towards sexuality, and then Ryan Reynolds with his humor and stuff, I don't know, it kind of had a tweak in my head.
I love that.
It was like healthy, I guess, masculine, or just a healthy role model on a different form of sexuality and other things.
Yeah.
It was so comfortable that I wanted to be comfortable. So my brother had came out even to my family and everybody earlier than that, 3 years before the movie
really?
Had come out. Yeah, so having a gay family member, I was thinking I would get, you know, those conversations or like him trying to spill deets or spill too much. No, never had any of that. And I liked women, so I didn't really have a reason to think, am I attracted to men at all? And I've only had 3 romantic partners, including with my partner right now. So I've never had a slut phase or whatever that is about. And I try to, sorry, do you want me to start further back or no? I kind of feel
I don't
like
know.
I'm
Where
rambling.
Does it go? Where does it go for you? Like, how far back does it go that you're like realize you might be into cock?
I when know. I was into cock,
yeah, like guys, dudes, penises. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, going into college, I was long distance with my ex, and that was a miserable situation. But I was still giving effort, and I, in the guise of trying to make things play along, and when she visit, I got her toys. But it was like a 5-pack variety of like bullet vibrators.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, here's some, and I get to have some. So if you visit, they're here. If you forget, wink. And I would start using them on myself. I would start using the vibrator on my taint. I would start like changing my porn habits. Like I didn't give a shit about lesbian porn. I cared more about like blowjobs. And then I didn't like the overproduced stuff. So I liked more eye contact or any sort of like amateur porn. So after that, I'm at college and my best friend is in the military and we were playing games together and stuff. And he's probably the most comfortable guy I am with. We talked about everything together. And then one night we're playing video games and getting drunk and we're losing a bunch. And it's similar to Fortnite where, you know, a bunch of teams go in, last team remaining wins. And he is drunk and says, Seth, if we win, you have to suck my dick. and it's 3 a.m. and I say, all right, fuck it, why not? And against all odds and drunken game playing, we somehow won. And he would hang that bet over for me for like months, jokingly, but also playful flirting. Like, he was straight. He had a girlfriend, but he was like the kiss the homie goodnight kind of flirting. And so this was the friend that I ended up having my first threesome with later with my current girlfriend. And so I didn't really get to see him until we had actually planned it with my girlfriend, who told me when I had met her, she was bi and she watches guy on guy porn as well. Guy on guy was something that she was very interested in. Mm-hmm. And I told her, obviously, I didn't think I was ready for that. But if she brought up threesomes, she was the one that brought up threesomes. I said I didn't want to pursue the male, female, female, because I think too many guys just go for the first opportunity, show their selfishness, and they're not necessarily thinking about all players involved. And I didn't want to represent that. I wanted to make sure I communicated that her needs, her boundaries, everything was there on the table to be discussed, and that I'm fine with the two guy action as well.
Or maybe subconsciously you just rather hook up with another guy because you had never done it before and you would prefer that.
Or
maybe that was
maybe
the reason. Maybe because you were like on some level craving some guy on guy action. You had never had that yet. You had been with women, right? So what's another woman? But another guy in the same room, even if you're not doing anything, might have been more appealing.
Yes. And that it didn't turn into guy on guy action. I think he had mental hangups and a lot of stuff still to deal with.
Yeah.
So it was more of a normal devil's threesome kind of spit roast action.
Yeah.
But me and my girlfriend had communicated everything so well that it was fantastic. I absolutely loved watching every part of it. I would be laying down, my girlfriend would be blowing me, and then he would be fucking her. And I mean, he had a bigger dick than me as far as girth goes. And I sort of had more of the inverse of longer and slightly skinnier. And so we gave her quite the variety. It was fantastic. We even got to go next to each other side by side where she could blow both of us at the same time and like jerk us off.
Wow.
And that was the moment where I did attempt something. I reached over and grabbed his dick and started stroking. And it was big and I liked it. It was my offhand. I was looking at it. It felt natural to me. It felt weird that it wasn't mine, but it still obviously felt natural. And he eventually pushed me off. And it wasn't like, how dare you? It was just uncomfortable, the time to stop. He actually told me he was close to coming. And that's why he told me to stop later on.
Oh, interesting.
And that was really funny.
Yeah, I could see that. He wants to fucking perform. He's got another guy there. He doesn't want to probably be the first one to come. So, and you touching his dick probably was going to put him over the edge. Maybe he loved it.
Yeah, I don't know. He didn't end up coming that time. And I did. It was fantastic. It felt like a good experience first time. And it was crazy, because my girlfriend had only lost her virginity to me 2 months before that.
Her virginity with a guy? Because I know she's bi, or just her virginity in general. How old is she?
Period. And she only, right now she's 23. She was 18.
Oh, okay. So she was still young. Okay. So she lost her virginity with you? But wait, she lost her virginity with you at a threesome?
No, she lost her virginity to me about a month in, and then 2 months after was our threesome.
Wow, I love how these girls roll nowadays. She got right to it. Oh, my God.
She says she was ready to lose her virginity, and we were open to communicating from the beginning. And I had already said I had this best friend that he and I had fantasized about sharing a girl with. And she was, like, all totally down. And she was, like, told me after, like, I kind of wish there was more potentially guy on guy. But I told her, yeah, it's kind of a big deal to do, though, to your high school best friend. And there was an interesting situation that happened after. So normally the boyfriend in a like male, female, male situation, right? Like hot wife, hot girlfriend situation gets jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. I was over the moon and stuff. And I realized now why this next part happened.
Okay.
We didn't have reclamation sex or reconnecting interaction because we weren't living together still. We couldn't hang out every day. We couldn't do everything we want when we see each other. And so there wasn't necessarily like a timeful reclaiming sex. So my girlfriend felt she had betrayed me for taking another dick. And my friend felt he had betrayed me for fucking my girlfriend.
Now, listen, everyone, I totally understand that having super hot, open and free sexual experiences is important to you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to my show. I get it. The best type of sex is liberating and worry-free. The kind where you just lose yourself in another person without any concerns, including the risk of contracting an STI. And that's why I'm super excited to introduce the latest and greatest innovation in sexual health, DoxyPep. DoxyPep is a low-dose prescription antibiotic taken after unprotected sex, including unprotected oral sex. It acts as like a morning after pill for STIs. Studies have demonstrated that it reduces the likelihood of contracting syphilis and chlamydia by 80%, as well as gonorrhea by 60%. And the good news is I know just where you can get DoxyPep, and that is at the sex-positive company Shameless Care. Shameless Care is offering DoxyPep for just $109 per year. It is not a subscription, so there's nothing to cancel. It's just one payment of $109, and that gets you 15 doses, which is a full year's supply of medication. To obtain DoxyPep today and take charge of your sexual health, please visit shamelesscare.com/strictly. That's shamelesscare.com/strictly to get your DoxyPep, or just go to the description and click on the link. Good news, Strictly Anonymous Podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description. Yeah, I could see that. Everyone's home in their own rooms just with their thoughts of what happened, and nobody's talking to anyone. I could see how someone could get in their head like that about it, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just felt like whiplash at first because I was hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah. But are they both like calling you up and telling you this later on? Are you like the middleman getting this from his side and her side?
Yeah, I'm getting texts from my girlfriend at the exact moment that I'm playing games with my best friend. And He's telling me that he was sitting on this, and I'm texting my girlfriend. And I'm like, hold up. Can we get in a group call and try to figure this out for a moment? Both of you are okay. Both of you didn't step over any lines. We had the boundaries of no kissing and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, he would have to have a condom. I wouldn't kiss him and he wouldn't kiss her because we thought no kissing. Kissing would mean intimacy. And it was our boundary because we hadn't discussed or explored everything yet.
Yeah.
And that was all on board. And most of the sex of the threesome was quite vanilla. So that's why I was surprised when everything came, not blowing up, but came bubbling up. And we talked it through and everything was fine. But I haven't been able to hang out with him a whole lot because he's very much career military. Mm-hmm. So I get to see him when I see him, and that's fine. And then he gets busy with his life. And then COVID happens right as me and my partner were wanting to pick up apps, wanting to try to find a couple to swing with or find a girl action and stuff. Mm-hmm. And nothing ever happened. Even though we had a couple conversations, we trade nudes. But once the discussion of dates come up, it kind of always falls through. They don't like it. They just like trading nudes.
Oh, really? A lot of people online?
Or that, and I also feel like our ages, because at this time, this was 3 years ago, so I would have been 21, she would have been 19, 20.
Oh my God.
And I guess I could see how people on those apps and on those websites wouldn't think that we're actually meaning it, or like maybe the dude is stealing her pics, because there's been so many situations where I'm contacted by what looks like a couple, But it's actually a dude with like old relationship photos, or he's cheating and he just wants to be a sub for a couple or for a dude and he wants to suck dick. So during this time, we were going on the apps, but we couldn't really make anything happen. And we didn't even have a nightlife to go out to because COVID is happening. I think both she and I probably fell into a complacent and depressive state. But during this time, we still got to explore each other because we discussed threesomes and opening it up at the beginning because I realized what sort of lucky jackpot I got with my girlfriend and how much we got along with each other. I didn't want any sort of risk to that relationship from thinking, what am I not experiencing by staying with this person? Simply because I met them earlier in my life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I figured we were both such open-minded about it. We were able to talk about how, why can't we would stay together, be romantically monogamous, and that we would explore these hookup situations together because she had yet explored her lesbian life. She had not been with a girl until, again, just a month ago. And now she's head over heels for eating pussy. She can't wait. She made her the woman her first time eating her out, and she was so excited. And she said it was worth the wait.
Oh my God, that's so funny. This girl that didn't lose her virginity to 18, 1 month later, she was being spit roasted. And a couple of years later, she's obsessed with pussy. She did.
Yeah, it's like a slow marinade of a situation that we've been building up for so long. Because so we would, in the meantime of not being able to find any couples that would play along in COVID, we would buy toys and we would go out to concerts because we didn't live together. Concerts were an excuse for a hotel room. And so we would go all out and plan out our outfits, plan out what we would use for toys. Okay, do we need cleaner? Yes, we need cleaner. Hey, is that butt plug big enough for you? We would do all of that prep. And then like after the concert, this was, I think, in our first year of our relationship, we do a mini road trip, we get to the room, and we get hot and heavy probably within 5 minutes of getting in the room. And she's like, do you want me to put the toys on now? Do you want the strap on before the concert? I'm like, no, let's save energy for the concert, and that could be a wind down. And so the concert went great. I think she got hit on by like a cougar while we were waiting for our Lyft or Uber back. And we get back to our room, and she says, sit right there on the bed, get yourself hard, and I'd get dressed up. And I'm like, okay. And so she takes the bag into the bathroom and I'm like getting in, getting ready, getting in position. She says, close your eyes. And then she walks out and she has a corset on, a strap on, and a collar waiting for me. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe she's doing this to me right now. We did plan it a little bit, but it was still very much overwhelming. This is the first time any of my fantasies like this have been able to live out.
Yeah.
I've always been, I think, into bondage and to like bondage, but like restraining submissive dom play for sure. Mm-hmm. Like even playing pretend on the playground, like 8, 9 years old. Like I remember the hostage situations being arousing. So I probably got developed into liking to be sub pretty early, but I also like the inverse too. That's part of what my partner and I like recently is we like discussing the idea of going to a bar, going to a concert and like seducing somebody and like, or watching the other flirt with them.
Yeah.
We're definitely starting to play around with that, but we're not into solo play. We still want to have it be together or be totally like observed.
Yeah, that's smart. Before we get to the whole strap-on experience, that first time, you know, her walking out, we'll go back to that. I was, you know, you did touch upon the fact that when you were younger and you had that long-distance girlfriend, you bought toys and stuff. I'm assuming you said you did stuff on your taint and the vibrator. Did you ever, were you playing with yourself? Were you doing anal action with yourself growing up and or during that time? You had put stuff inside you before?
Remember probably touching my butt a lot in the shower. And then, but then you're just like, okay, well, I got to clean everywhere. And then I would probably be like, and then I think I began using the soap and the shower to start fingering my ass a little bit from a younger age. I can't say when, probably between 12 and 14. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't as dominant then because I definitely remembered all the, not fear mongering, but definite warning of don't shove random objects in your ass. I knew you should save it for a sex toy, something designed. I've heard enough. My current girlfriend is obsessed with stories from the ER, and it's always something up the butt.
Oh my God, I know that fear of actually putting something in and not being able to get it out and then having to go to a fucking doctor and be like, this is what I did. How horrifying. Yeah.
Yeah, so I probably got into that from an earlier age. And as far as like voyeurism and exhibitionist, I think I definitely have that in me. I mean, you have to a little bit in order to like all four people in one room to have sex and for you to be turned on and stuff. But yeah.
But we're not there yet. We're at strap-on, that strap-on experience. Go back to that because I just wanted to, I just was wondering, is this the first time that something's going to be in your ass? But no, you had played with stuff before.
Correct? I had, yes. Mm-hmm. I had used her dildo when earlier on in our relationship. It was like a 4.5-inch like silicone clear dildo that looked like a dick. And she got that in me really quick and she was surprised because I had practiced a little bit.
Yeah.
But never, it was always my fingers, I think, and just the vibrating toy. I don't remember having a dildo or a butt plug to myself before meeting my girlfriend. And once we had talked about that, we went out and bought several toys. We got like a vibrating medium-sized dildo that is like child's play to me now. We just got a new dildo that we got finally got up in me for the first time. This last weekend, 2 days ago, we just got back from a camping trip and we were doing it at 10 and she was like trying to stretch me out and she didn't believe it was even going to go in. It was probably about 4 inches long and 3 inches in diameter.
Oh my goodness. That's wide.
It was wide. And I hadn't felt that sort of feeling since the first time I started doing butt play with myself where it felt like a real challenge.
Yeah.
And ironically, the wide part going in felt fine. It was the wide part staying in my anal cavity that felt like, oh, I'm being stretched right now. Holy cow.
But how was that? How big was that strap on that first time that she came out with it? Was it like a size of a real dick, like a regular size dick?
No, it wasn't. It was like one of those rubbery, just like curved finger strap ons. Didn't even stay on right. The hardest didn't stay on right.
Oh,
it was her first time learning how to thrust.
Yeah.
Using a ghost appendage. She always joked around about having actual penis envy because she wants to fuck a guy in an ass.
Mm-hmm. She's into it.
She's 100% into it. And so that's why I think I told you in the email we haven't got around to enough pegging between that and the living circumstances. It was these hotel rooms that we would get at our concerts. We probably did about 5 or 6 over the last 3 years. And they were all incredibly fun, but it just is not enough. And that's why we're super excited that we're getting on with our lives. And 2024, sorry to keep fast forwarding, we like finally got back on the apps and we said, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to drive no matter how far out for these couples. If they are good, if they are matched, if the chemistry matches, we're going to make this happen. 2024 is our slut year, is what we said.
You sound pretty slutty already, by the way, but I got it. Listen, the slow burn that you guys have had over time probably has only been good for your relationship. It keeps that tension, that sexual tension going and stuff. If you kind of like been there, done that, all this crazy stuff in the past couple of years, you might be like, now what? You know what I mean? So it's not, you guys are sound like you've done a lot in the time that you have been together. So that strap-on time wasn't that great, but you enjoyed it and she enjoys being strapping it on.
Yes, she enjoyed strapping it on, seeing me with my feet above my head, seeing me making all the orgasm silly faces and grabbing me by my dick whenever like I was starting to disobey. She would like slap my chest if I would like reach to play with myself. She said, no, it's only for me. It was extremely tantalizing and exciting and I just want more of it. It's really just disappointing we haven't had enough opportunities. I just ordered a perfect new harness and we're going to get a new dildo that I think is more acceptable. Something that I'll want to like really get on my knees for, probably like to stock. I'd love to ride it. We definitely want to find a bi guy that we could play with. At least you could have a strap on with two bi guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely what we're looking for.
Yeah, because she's always been watching that porn. That's always been a fantasy of hers.
Yeah, she's been watching lesbian and gay porn. It was always something that she would want to see. And it took me a while to come to terms about wanting to kiss a guy, even though I touched a dick. I was like, I don't know if I want to kiss a dude or not. And I don't know how much you and your listeners look at some of the internet trends and stuff, but femboys, have you heard of femboys?
Kinda, yeah. I've heard of femboys. Do I know exactly what it means? I'm just thinking it's like more of a feminine kind of guy that's into guys.
It's basically cross-dressing, but it's not really developing an alter ego. It's not identifying as trans. It's just being a feminine, androgynous looking guy that probably has like basically cosplay stuff on.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Okay.
Like stuff like wearing skirts, putting like your dick between your legs so you have a cocktail and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why sometimes like that androgynous look. I like it when the guys look a little bit more feminine. I like it when my girls are, I guess, a little bit more masculine and strong. My current girlfriend is definitely classified as a tomboy. She always like hated dresses from a very young age,
mm-hmm.
loud and rambunctious. And I don't know when that clicked for me exactly, but definitely recently I started to say, you know what? I'm ready. I want to start sucking dick. I want to start sandwiching a dude between me and my girlfriend. I want me to be sandwiched. I'm just a little picky on who I actually find attractive because guys' sexuality and stuff, it's not a perfect 50-50.
Mm-hmm. But when did you bring that up to your girlfriend? Because I know that you said like she came out as being bisexual very early on, but you came later. Like when did you say, raise your hand and say, hey, I'm bi? It sounds like you could have at any time because she was always letting you know that she was into guy and guy action, right?
Yeah, it of course could have been any time. And I think it was more like, well, you like being pegged. You like having butt plugs. You were okay with a male-male threesome with your best friend.
You touched his dick.
She had the writing on the... Yeah, she saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
She just didn't see a reason to push it, mm-hmm. especially when our fantasies weren't even necessarily coming true with other people. So it didn't matter at the time, I guess. But it was after COVID. Mm-hmm. I guess after COVID, and I just had been through enough personal stuff that I didn't care what labels were. I didn't care what other people thought. I just, there was no point for me to have any more reservations if I wanted to be happy.
But do you remember that conversation you had with your girlfriend?
No, it wasn't that significant. I think it was like a passing comment because mm-hmm. like she already knew the porn I'd been watching. I had been watching like bisexual porn with threesomes for a while.
And what about to your friends?
I still don't see a reason to.
Yeah, I don't
do
think so.
Express myself differently after like that personal revelation. Like I paint my nails now and I just don't care. I want to dye my hair. I got my first tattoo. So many things I had hangups previously, I no longer have hangups for. Like life is too short. I know it sounds like I'm having a quarter life crisis. That's not what it is. It's just,
no, that's what your 20s is about, figuring out who the fuck
yeah.
you are. And those big moments when you do figure out something about yourself is amazing. That's real life stuff. That's like what you should be doing at your age, figuring that out and coming into your own. And that is a lot of times when people get their first tattoo, dye their hair. You're finally out of your parents' house. And a lot of times when you're really young and you're living with your parents, you don't have, it's not easy to figure out who you are. It's when you leave the house and you're on your own. That's when it all happens. When it takes time for the next 10 years, you might be five other things. But every time you figure something out about yourself, it is a major moment. And it's a big part of your life. That's what your 20s are all about.
Absolutely. And now that these fantasies that I've talked about with my girlfriend for over the last 5 years are now fucking happening, it's just, it's a freeing experience of feeling like the impact is finally coming true. And it's not something that's unobtainable. For a while, I had to introduce this lifestyle to her. She never thought this was even a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Even when she brought up threesomes, she didn't necessarily think that this door existed on the other side. And it was absolutely so freeing. And now that we had these developed fantasies that we had communicated and developed boundaries, we even said that we didn't want to hold the kissing anymore because we both realized kissing was an erotic thing for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And this last December, at the beginning of 2024, we get back on the apps with a mission. We lay it out in our bio that we are not looking for bullshit. We know what we want. We are two bisexuals. We're open to communicating. We won't push anybody's boundaries hard. And eventually, probably after 50 plus matches and so many conversations, we find a couple that lives 2 hours away from us. And the wife is super cute. She's a couple years older than us. And the husband looks fine. He looks pretty normal, like a dad bod who's 29 and stuff. But looked very real and kind. And we're like, okay, let's give this a shot. And we began chatting. We made a Snapchat group chat where we began talking dirty, sending nudes, taking small videos over Snapchat of each other giving head. Like, it was getting really exciting. And it was, this experience finally looked like it was lining up. And we had this track record of saying, oh my gosh, it's finally happening. Oh my gosh, it's finally happening. When we like discuss dates or choose a hotel, we would get ghosted in the past. Mm-hmm. And finally, we were like, okay, we can't say it's finally happening until we've parked the car outside of the venue. And so I didn't think I was attracted to the husband. And I still wasn't. He looks fine. But he identified as straight. So we thought that was already covered for and wouldn't need to discuss. His wife was a lesbian. And so girl-on-girl action and everything else was on the table. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So we arrived there. And we're still nervous. We're unpacking the car. We have our backpack and stuff because they invited us and they got their kids out of the house for the night and we were going to spend the night. And so we unpack our stuff. We got some drinks. I bought some Japanese whiskey. We had Jenga out and Cards Against Humanity. And so we were like all ready to do some icebreakers and stuff. And so we say hello. We hug them. We do our greetings. Great, great, great. We drop off our stuff. Then we all take two shots. Mm-hmm. And then the conversation starts flowing really naturally. We're talking about music. We're talking about where we're from. We find out that the wife is actually from where me and my girlfriend are from. And because we had lied about, we would say we were from like the city next to us. And like we didn't have our names on the apps and stuff.
Yeah, that's smart.
And so when she name dropped the city we're from, we just sort of jaw dropped. Wait. You know where we went to school? Yeah. Wait, you know where this street is and that restaurant? It just kind of became a much more natural experience because everything began to open up. These people are very real. We felt so comfortable. Mm-hmm. We had discussed that we were both exclusive to our partners for the last several years since COVID. So this was like their first experience, I think, at least in 3 years or the first experience in total.
Yeah.
So it felt like a really good match because both of us were newly experienced and having cold feet and like we're all in it together at the same wavelength. And then eventually started gearing up. We tried to play a board game to break the ice, but mm-hmm. we probably got one round of Cards Against Humanity in before the girls wanted to kiss each other. And then we took drinks and it's like, hold up, we need to have dinner first. So we go out, go to a bar, have a drink, do a little bit of flirting. And so on the way back from the bar, me and my girlfriend are in the back seat. The husband is driving and the wife is in the passenger seat. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here. I'm about to make out with my girlfriend. We're talking about something. And then suddenly I feel my girlfriend's hand on my crotch, rubbing me in the car, trying to get me ready for when we get back. And then the wife up front leans back, turns around, and also puts her hand on my crotch. And so this is the first moment I have two women touching me at the same time in his car. It's someone else's wife, too. So that was absolutely...
an added, like, hotness to it. Like, it added hotness to it.
Absolutely. It felt mm-hmm. like I was cheating with permission. Obviously, it's yeah. not cheating, but there's a mental barrier that I'm like actively trying to break, and I know it's a taboo I'm crossing, and this is finally happening. And so we get back to the apartment. The two women both go to the bedroom as me and the husband set up more shots for everybody, and we take it up, and then we finally bring the shots to the girls, and they're making out in the bedroom already.
Well, your like, girl has been waiting for this for longer than you've been waiting for this, okay? This poor girl
absolutely.
Has been watching lesbian sex forever.
Yeah, no, she couldn't wait. She had a huge girl boner, I think. I guess.
Yeah.
And she like turned to me and apologized. And I said, no, it's not separate play. We're all in the same room. This is all planned together. No, that's not solo play. We were just in the room over. And she's like, oh, okay, of course. She gets very cautious. She's an empath. She's very emotional. This is why it works when we overcommunicate, because we both take each other's feelings and everything into account.
Yeah.
And that whole night was just absolutely amazing. Compersion is the word for someone else's pleasure giving you pleasure, right?
Yes. That's compersion. Absolutely.
That was overwhelming. I think it was 5 hours of mind-blowing sex from like 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. was absolutely all over the place. My favorite part was when I was fucking his wife, she was sucking her husband's dick, and then my girlfriend was sitting on his face, and she, my girlfriend and I, would lock eyes as we were doing each other, like each other's partners and stuff. It was just a mind-blowing experience. And every single point, like, we would swap which one we were fucking with, me and the husband, and the girls would get really excited. They would get wet again, and both of them would start like screaming in 7 minutes. Both of them were squirters. I like to joke about the orgasm gap in my personal relationship because it's flipped.
Really?
My girl comes far too much compared to me. Not too quick, but she sometimes I'll drain her of her personal fluids, and then we need to grab lube. Yes.
Oh my God. She's a squirter.
Absolutely. She's a squirter. Just, I have a huge thing for sitting on my face, and she's overly sensitive. So it works hand in hand. A week ago, I think I made her come just by biting and kissing the inner part of her thigh.
Yeah.
And then this last weekend, I think I made her squirt back to back on my face while sitting on me. And I like, I came instantly right then. We don't normally come at the same time because she's on hormone birth control. And so we just, I just simply pull out. It's fine. She doesn't mind swallowing.
Yeah.
But this time when she sat on my face, she squirted on me. And then 10 seconds later, I came on my own chest. And it was like one of those feelings of coming at the same time. It was fantastic. And I know that's getting ahead of myself.
Yeah. Go back to your foursome. It's okay though. That was good details. Keep going.
So during the foursome, we would keep swapping. We'd probably swap every 7 minutes or whatever. We would take hydration breaks. We would smoke a little bit of weed and whatever else. It was like a tag in, tag out situation for over 5 hours. And at one point, I have his wife on her back, and I'm like lifting her legs all the way back where she gets a hug her inside knees. And I'm larger, longer than her husband. Her husband's more of a can dick compared to me. And I guess I was hitting her cervix really hard. And so she had to go up to the bathroom. And I'm unsure if she threw up or whatever, but I guess she had motion sickness and stuff. Oh, and I felt bad. And I don't want to stroke my ego about it, but I felt bad.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
I turn over to my girlfriend who's fucking the husband. And I'm like, you guys keep enjoying this. I'm going to double check on her. And so I go and double check on her in the bathroom. I'm like, hey, are you okay? She goes, yeah, this is okay. This is normal. I didn't quite expect you to do that. That's fine. This is kind of normal. Everything's good. And so we go back to the situation, back to the room, and it probably happens two more times that she goes to the bathroom from me going and sticking my cock all the way in, really railing in really fucking hard. And she kept giving me the signals to like, no, I like that. I really want that. It's my fault. Don't worry. It's not you. I'm like, okay. And so it was during the night, we probably swapped so many times. And each time I would do one of the girls in missionary, the other one would look at me super lustfully and start grabbing my leg, biting their lip. Both my girlfriend and the wife were just looking at me like I was a fucking porn star. And that was just another feeling as well. I never felt my ego go big that like that before.
Yeah.
And then I think they said, all right, let's give the men a turn. And so they put me on my back. And finally, I was getting my first double blowjob from two girls. And this was fantastic. I was a little drunk, a little bit faded, and so I was having trouble staying stimulated while with my eyes open, so I just focused with my eyes closed on the feeling. And then I opened my eyes, and it's all three of them down there sucking my dick. And because they had alluded earlier, and I was like, oh, you don't know, like the wife had like elbowed the husband, like, you never know, he might get into it in the moment. And I was like, I don't care, we'll deal with it when it comes to it. And so I opened my eyes. The wife is leaning up to make out with me. My girlfriend is sharing my cock with her husband. It's just overstimulation. And this is probably, this is my first gay experience as well, or bi experience. And it's just, I couldn't ask for it to be better. And then after that goes on for a little bit longer, the husband gets on his back, and my girlfriend invites me to suck his dick. And I did it, and it was a blast. I probably only did it for about 2 minutes, but between the feeling down my throat and stroking it, it was absolutely everything I wanted it to be. And I do want more of that. I want to share a guy with my girlfriend so fucking bad. And we probably have two couples that we're like almost meeting with. One of them has a really big dick that she and I are excited for.
What about seeing your girl with the girl?
that was so, I don't even have words for it, I guess. It was expected, and I was super excited to see it. And then seeing her eat her pussy and then sharing the wife with my girlfriend. I mean, it was everything I expected. The most mind-blowing part was absolutely opening my eyes and seeing a dude going down on me when he wasn't ready for us. I thought he was straight.
Yeah.
So quite frankly, I guess the girl-on-girl stuff, while incredibly exciting, was like a little bit on the back foot, I guess. I'd seen it in porn, so it didn't imprint me the way that this has. And honestly, I haven't been watching much porn since. I've just been using my own brain catalog to jerk off.
Which is always better, by the way. I think it's like really easy just to just grab a porn and jerk off. But I always find, and I do that all the time because it's just easy, right? You don't have to use your imagination. But I always find that if I do want to do the task of actually thinking of something myself and just not using something like that, the orgasm is 10,000 times better when you're just using your own thoughts, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's an entirely different thing. Yeah. As a guy, I got normalized with porn and I was like, oh, yeah, if I wanted.
I'm fucking lazy. Half the time I'm just lazy. I just do it because I'm lazy. But even though I know that if I don't be lazy and I use my imagination and take a little bit longer to really get into the scene and get myself off and do it, it's going to be 10 times better. You just go for the porn because it's easy. That's it. Laziness.
Yeah. I was going to say I could do it in 2 minutes on porn, or I could take 10, 15 minutes.
20 minutes
really
for me. Yeah,
to come up with something I'm going to want to talk about with my girlfriend the next time we have sex.
Yeah, and
yeah,
really
absolutely.
Get into it and make up that scene in your head and get to the point where it's really real. But it's always 10 times better that way, for sure, than it is when you're just watching a porn.
Yeah, I hear too much about how prominent porn addiction is. And so I do actively try to fight it. And even when I do find porn, I don't like the fake overproduced stuff. It needs to have an inkling of intimacy. That's probably where I have a huge diverging path compared to other guys. My parents talked to me about porn when I was younger, but from the perspective of how it's produced, how it's fake, how just say how, yes, obviously that's a literal act, but that's not an accurate representation.
Yeah, no, that was very smart, because that's the problem nowadays is that people grow up with that, right? It's so readily available. And then you get to real sex and it's nothing like that. And you're like, what the fuck? So I think that's great
absolutely.
That your parents educated you on the reality and the difference. Porn versus real life. It's not the same. It's not real life sex is not a fucking porno, but that amateur stuff is a little bit more real. I get it. That's the stuff that I always like to watch more so, you know, because I'm always like the music in the background and the smoke and all that shit. It's like, how can you get horny for that? It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
Absolutely. It's so stupid.
Yeah. So, but I just also think, though, going back to your foursome, I just think, and I think that, listen, if there's that Kinsey scale and like totally hetero is on one side and totally homosexual is on the other side, everyone falls somewhere in the middle. And you might be, I think it sounds like maybe a little bit more into guys than into girls. Maybe you're like 60, 55, 45. I don't know, because I do think you prefer the guy on guy thing as opposed to the girl if it's in front of you. And there's nothing wrong with that. It just sounds like that's a little bit more what you're into.
Well, I think it's something that I still have a fantasy for, because I've only sucked, unfortunately, that one dick, and I haven't had a bottom or top or kissing experience with a guy. So I'm still just curious the way my girlfriend was curious about girl on girl.
Right. It's still the unattainable. That makes sense too. It's more that. It's like, because you've never had that. You've had a woman. So like you said, like what I said before, what's another woman? You've been there, done that. It's like the guy thing is something you've been pondering for a long time. And there's still so much left to explore.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have so much to explore. And we're not trying to rush anywhere, because even my girlfriend just said sex feels more normalized and like vanilla now feels far less exciting. She just voiced this week, and I was like, well, we did just sort of have this big experience with the foursome, and we're planning this other stuff, and we've been together so long, it's only natural that it's going to lose some of its luster, which is exactly why we do all of these other things to keep it so spicy.
Yeah, that's what I said before. Like the fact that you haven't been able to do everything you wanted to do because of distance and not living together is like good, because, you know, it kind of drags it out. Because like I said, after you've done all of that stuff and got it out of you, like then what? You know, you don't want to get to that point. You don't need to get to that point. Now you're only in your 20s.
No, exactly. It's not a race. We have a double date with a couple again coming up in a couple of weeks, and we're super stoked for that because, well, I didn't have like performance flaccidity, but I think we probably got a little too drunk at the beginning, and so me and the husband were eating out the girls, I think, for probably a half hour until we got hard. So going into the second experience, I'm sure things will roll much smoother with the chemistry. And so things, we could do more of the things that we wanted to do. Like we bought a gag ball and a paddle, and we're going to play like punishment Jenga or whatever. Whoever topples has to get paddled.
Oh my God. How old is this new couple that you're meeting up with?
Oh, so this is the same couple that we have a date with. And then we're still just talking with a couple of others. It's a great experience so far.
Listen, I think that performance stuff and everything will be better if you stick with the same people too, because you're already comfortable with them and everything. So it's smart to just go back to that couple. It sounds like it felt very natural and it was great, and it'll only get better the more you're with them.
Because me and my girlfriend both weren't ever comfortable, or even in the hookup scene, weren't social butterflies or whatever. We need to feel comfortable, safe, and feel the vibes going along. So the fact that we didn't even have a couple friend near us during the last 5 years to be platonic friends with, let alone like swingers.
Yeah.
So our foursome was our first double date.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I might be wrong about that, but that feels more like our first double date. And so now we have couples friends who we fuck, and that's just really exciting.
Yeah. What's better than having a couple that you love to go out with and you enjoy their company? What's better than that? Also enjoying fucking them too. You get to at the end of the day. You guys are kind of like leading a very interesting life at such a young age. My last question to you is like, how do you feel like this opening up of your guys' relationship has changed your relationship? Has it added to it? What's different in your relationship because of what you guys have been doing, do you think?
I'd say that we've been over communicating, but we've been communicating our moment to moment wants a lot more. We're not biting our tongues just because we think one of us doesn't want to hear what we have to say, or if it might be inconvenient to the moment. We're being a lot more assertive
and honest about yourself.
Honest and assertive.
Yeah. And I think that's what it's all about. And so therefore you're going to feel a lot closer to your partner because you feel like you really know them for them. There's, like you said, not everything's on the table. There's nothing being hidden. Whereas in so many other relationships there are, right? And there isn't that over communication going on.
And if I have one more moment to talk about reclaiming sex.
Yeah, sure.
So versus the first threesome we had where we didn't have reclaiming sex.
Yeah. Bring that. Yeah. Talk about that. That's interesting.
This time we made it a goal. And I actually found your podcast 2 days after the foursome because I wanted some naughty content to listen to.
Yeah.
And then you gave me the literal label for that. And then I literally the next day I went to my girlfriend's place and we had reclaiming sex. And it was probably the most intimate, close, and romantic session that we had had. She squirted so much. And we had been training her ass for a little while with 3 different sizes of butt plugs.
Mm-hmm.
And she was finally ready for anal. We didn't fuck anal, but she was able to get my entire cock in her ass this time.
Right.
I mean, with lube up and analese and stuff. And she really loved it. She found out that she loves anal. Like, we haven't had a successful night since, but mm-hmm. She wants to get fucked in the ass now.
And that's because of that. So that reclaiming time really made the difference, or you really felt why that's important that time because you did it that time.
We had plenty of reconnecting conversations on the 2-hour car ride home, mm-hmm. but then the reclaiming sex was our first night where we got to have each other's bodies just to ourselves. And it absolutely was just a reconnecting experience. And then being able to try those couple of things that we had been talking about for months, and then it worked. And so I guess the anal was also just sort of the perfect milestone on the reclaiming sex, because it's a reminder that there's stuff for just us. And there's activities that are only meant for us.
Yeah. That brings you guys back together. That should be the prime. You know, you always got to go back to your primary relationship because that's what it's about. You playing with others is about you two as a couple, not, you know, her getting off or you getting off. And that's what needs to stay put. That's what you need to remember. And I think it's smart that you guys don't do any kind of solo play now. Maybe later. I think that's always a little scarier thing to do. even for people that are professional and have gone down that path, they have told me, even though they're successful at it now, that it didn't come easily when they had issues when they did that. So it's a whole other thing to navigate. So I wouldn't go there just yet. Have your fucking fun. Maybe when you're 35, try, or in your 30s.
Yeah, we're not thinking about that necessarily. That's playing with the fire. If anything, it'll be like both of us at a public setting and telling one of us to go like flirt and seduce someone. That's
yeah,
different.
I love that whole going out to the bar and watching your partner flirt and do stuff like that. I think that that's like super healthy and fun and safe as long as you yes. go home together. So I think that's a great way to kind of mock up that situation without sort of crossing the line and doing the whole solo thing. Listen, some people though do it successfully, like I said, but even in those stories, there are rough patches that they go through. And I think you have to have a very solid relationship. Not that you and your girl don't, but you've been together, you know, what, 5 years for you, but sometimes it takes
5 years, yeah.
10, 15 years. Those are the couples that they went through a rough patch, but they got through it because they have that really strong foundation. You have to have that going into that kind of thing. And so it's smart that you guys are. And thanks so much for calling in and sharing your story. I'm assuming your girl knows that you're calling into the show. It doesn't sound like
yes,
you keep
anything
for her.
She's right outside of the car right now.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
she's
awesome.
Waiting for me to finish the phone call right now. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Awesome.
I'll call again when I have more stories.
No, but I want to just, I'm asking that question because, I mean, if you listen to my show, I always ask for picks for my Patreon. If you want to send in like anonymous picks, and since your girl knows, like you could send in anonymous hot picks for my Patreon, the only R-rated, nothing X-rated stuff. And I will, though, also give you access to my Discord for free. You will be able to go in there for free when your episode airs. But if you want to send me pics, and you can if you're a girl too, because she's in the know, you can send them to me for my Facebook. But like I said, it's always anonymous. I mean, not for my Facebook.
Yeah.
Fuck Facebook.
So
it's for my Patreon. Send it to my email. Send it to my email. Send them sooner than later because I always just like to know that I have it in case I don't know when I'm airing your episode, but it's going to go up sooner than later. So I want those pictures now.
Yeah, I'll send you hopefully in the next day or so. Yeah,
all right,
I'll send
awesome.
You photos. I might have a photo of me too.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, no problem.
All right.
All right. Thanks so much for calling in. I love your story.
Thank you so much, Kathy. Have a great day.
You too. Hey, everyone. Strictly Anonymous Podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. If you want to follow the show, follow me at Strict Anonymous on Instagram or Twitter. That's at Strict Anonymous. If you want to sign up for my Patreon, on my Patreon, you are not only supporting my show, but you will get these episodes early, ad-free, and you get to see anonymous picks of my guests. Most of the girls send in anonymous pics and some of the guys send in anonymous pics. So if you want to see anonymous pics of my guests as well as support my show and get these episodes early and ad-free, sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. The link is also in the description below. Thanks so much for listening.
Do you have a story, lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is Strictly Anonymous. Strictly Anonymous.